Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul, at this hour, any hour, thanks a lot for a couple of minutes of your time. How surprised were you to hear about this?
Hey, Steve. I'm definitely surprised. As I wrote in the post in tonight's online editions and tomorrow, surprised, not shocked. You can't be shocked after, hearing. The Giants could have ended all this. And even when Dave Gettleman said we did not sign him to trade him.
Right.
That was not a denial. We are not trading him. That was our intention, was not to trade him when we signed him. It's like, coming this time of year when in the NCAA tournament, when you're talking to basketball coaches, college basketball coaches, mm-hmm. and you hear they're going to be going for another team. And what I always say, Steve, it is my intention to come back here and coach. It is not my intention to leave. Well, intentions change, don't they? So, look, the Giants were not shopping Odell. They were not putting out an all-points bolt and saying, we are getting rid of this guy. Unlike the Steelers, and look what happened to the Steelers. The Steelers got a terrible return for Brown. The Giants got a better return. I don't think it was a great return. We can talk about that. But, the Giants clearly, in the last several months, and as this new regime came in, felt that Odell Beckham was a little bit more of a pain in the neck than they thought he would be, although he is a great player. And eventually, as someone told me, the cons of Odell Beckham outweighed the pros of Odell Beckham.
The Giants, first of all, have they gotten... I don't think they've gotten enough in return. The Browns had a second-round pick, number 47, and they had two third-round picks, and the Giants get the second of the two third-round picks, certainly getting at least their first-round pick, number 17... in this draft coming up in April, that's, a no-brainer. But not getting their second-round pick and getting their second third-round pick of the two that the Browns have or had, and then getting Jabril Peppers, of course, who's going to replace Collins. What the Giants have done here, I mean, do you agree, do you think that they have gotten fleeced?
Well, I don't know about fleece. I just don't think, if the parameters were we need to get blown away by a deal, I wouldn't say this was getting blown away. You could say the Giants wanted two first-round picks, and they got it because they got the 17th pick in the draft, and they got Jabril Peppers, who 2 years ago was the 25th pick in the draft. It will be a starting safety for them. Peppers did not have a good year as a rookie playing free safety. He had a much better year this past year. Playing strong safety, he's a big prospect, and, he'll start right away for the Giants. So he's a first-round pick. Well, they got a first-round pick this year. But I agree. I mean, the third-round pick is the last pick in the third round. It's the 95th pick. So is it a third-round pick or is it a fourth-round pick? It's the last pick in the third round. The 17th pick is a good pick, but it's the 17th pick, right? It's a mid-round pick. It's not the third pick or the fourth pick. So all picks are not created equal. So I agree. This is like I said, when a player like Antonio Brown devalues the situation and the team that has him is so desperate, you have to, just take whatever you can get for him. This was not the case with the Giants, but
right.
I would look at this and say, I agree with you. I think the first round pick and the second round pick in Jabril Peppers, now you're talking. Now that's closer to blowing me away than what the Giants ultimately got.
Would you have made this trade?
I'm not sure I would have made this trade. Now, I know that the Giants have grown increasingly irritated with Odell Beckham. I know that. Pat Shurmur came in and really tried to forge a relationship with the guy. And early in the game, seemed like he was, this was not Ben McAdoo. This was not the old man. Tom Coughlin, this was a middle-aged, sensible, real straight shooter in Pat Shurmur. And, and I think things were going along well. But, you know, Pat Chung was very, very upset with that ESPN interview where, you know, Odell refused to really back Eli Manning and refused to pledge his loyalty for the Giants. He was very upset with that, made Odell, you know, confront the team about that and explain himself. And also, Steve, don't forget, you know, Odell Beckham has not exactly been an Iron Man here. You know, he does not play 16 games very often in a season. He came off a catastrophic injury in 2017 where he only played four games, came back very strongly in 2018, but then missed the last four games with a quad contusion. So, you know, that's also 26 years old. He's a prime athlete. He's a phenomenal player. And, you know, there's no better, you know, body specimen in the league, really. But a little bit of a finely tuned athlete and very self-aware of his body and his aches and his pains. And, you know, the Giants also, I think, had a little bit of that in their back of the mind, too.
Here is, I think, a bad look. They get rid of Vernon. All right, now he had a much better second half of the season, as you know all too well. He was with the quarterback hits and got a couple of sacks. The whole thing, he had a good second half. So the Giants have gotten rid of their best pass rusher. They have gotten rid of their best tackler, if you don't want to say best safety, but you can say that too, even though he had no interceptions, forced fumbles, and had trouble in coverage. He had 89 tackles. So they got rid of their two best defensive players, their best offensive player, and they keep the 36-year-old Eli Manning. Is this not a bad look or what?
Well, you're actually being kind. He's 38 years old, don't forget. Well,
38,
Steve, not
36, yes.
38, right. He's, what's 2 years among friends, right? right? At our age, Steve, we kiss the ground for 38 again, right, Steve?
And you're basically, I could call you my surrogate son.
What does surrogate mean, Steve? No. Yeah. This is the big question now, Steve, is that what the Giants fans are really concerned with. Do the Giants have a plan? Does Dave Gettleman have a plan? And a rebuild is difficult and it's hard to swallow. But, and also, don't forget, they just let walk out the door a 25-year-old safety and
right.
a 26-year-old receiver. So it's not like they're getting rid of all the old guys. They're keeping the old guy in Eli Manning for now. And, you know, I was firmly in the camp that the Giants are committed to Eli Manning this year with possibly adding a rookie quarterback in the draft, certainly, maybe even with the first pick, you know, the first round pick.
Do you think it may take the two first round picks they have? Do you think they're going to need to move up, or do you think Haskins is going to fall to them at six?
Well, you know, I don't know that. My guess is that knowing the nature of the NFL draft, somebody will get antsy and try to move up. Now you have Kyler Murray up there, and if he goes to the Cardinals at number one, now the only real next guy there is Haskins, and someone may get itchy to move up. I do not personally believe that Dwayne Haskins is a guy that you can move up for and start trading a bunch of draft picks to get. I don't think he's that kind of a prospect. I'm very intrigued with Josh Rosen, Steve. I really am. And if you can get him on the cheap, now you have Saquon Barkley from the draft last year. You have Josh Rosen, and you have your number six pick, and you have the Browns' number 17 pick. Now you have the makings of something. You have Eli Manning for the present. You have Josh Rosen waiting in the wings to kind of wait and learn. And if Eli Manning falters, or if you feel the time is right, then you can move.
Paul, and we're talking with Paul Schwartz.
Right in there, yeah.
And we're talking with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, who covers the Giants. They've become a running team in a passing league with everything favoring the offense, as you know, and with all the passing, the Giants have become a running team. And
we don't know that yet. Let's see how they line up. Now, look, they're not going to get a receiver, you know, in the same stratosphere as Odell Beckham Jr. We know that. You know, right now Sterling Shepard's the number one. And then it's a cast of others, you know, Corey Coleman they re-signed. It's not a strong group. They will add a receiver somewhere along the line here. They'll have to draft one, I guess. They'll have to sign some mid-tier guy or low-tier guy in free agency. Let's see what develops. But let's not forget that with Odell, with Landon Collins, with Olivier Vernon, this has been a very bad team. You know, it's been a very bad team for 2 years. Odell didn't play for most of it in 2017, but this has been a very bad team. You know, Eli Manning's a part of that badness, but he's not the only part of it. So, and, you know, they're not breaking up a good team here. They're breaking up a bad team.
Mm-hmm. And Gettleman got nothing. And from what we understand, Paul, not a number one. That was being floated. But they could have, from what we understand, and you know this to be as well, they could have gotten a number four for Landon Collins. They got nothing in return. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say and give me your grade of Dave Gettleman. They traded Odell Beckham Jr., Olivier Vernon, Snacks Harrison, and Eli Apple for a 2019 first-round pick, a 2019 third-round pick, a 2019 fourth-round pick, a 2019 fifth-round pick, a 2020 seventh-round pick, Kevin Zeitler, and Jabril Peppers. Give me your Dave Gettleman grade on this.
It's not a good grade. You know, it's not a good grade right now. You know, right now. You know, this is grading. It's not even the midterm. It's the first semester, you know, of a fourth semester. I would say with the talent that went out the door. Now, Kevin Zeitler is a good player. He's going to be a starting guard. Jabril Peppers is going to be a 23-year-old starting safety. So you added two starters, and I like that. You know, I would say right now the grade is a D. You know, I'm not going to give him a failing grade because – it's just you just can't fail someone, you know, in midstream here. But look, Odell Beckham is a you know, wonderful talent, and you're not going to get that kind of talent with the 17th pick in the draft. Like I said, I would have liked to get a second round pick in addition to that. So look, Dave Gettleman's a big boy. He's got to own this. You know, people say he doesn't have a plan. I think he does have a plan. I'm not 100% sure what it is right now. But it will be revealed in time. And, you know, I do know that, he inherited a mess, a big mess, probably more of a mess than he, definitely more of a mess than I think he anticipated. And, he's trying to get out from under it right now.
Paul, before I let you go, do you think if the Giants had a different quarterback, Beckham's attitude about the Giants and New York and playing for the team would have been different?
You know, Steve, I don't think Odell's attitude has much to do with this. You know, Odell didn't ask out. You know, Odell is Odell. And you know, it'll be very fascinating to follow his career now with Cleveland and see, you know, if he, you know, matures a little bit. You know, Odell's not a bad guy. He doesn't get in trouble off the field. You know, he doesn't get in police reports or anything.
Of course not. And what he basically does is publicize his private life. Now, the party boat was bad. Because he followed that up with the most important football game of his life, and he had drops in that game and so forth and so on. But no, you're right. No guns, no DUI, no domestic violence, no breaking of the law, but a lot of publicizing of himself.
Well, yes. You know, he's, like I've mentioned on the show, I don't think Odell is selfish per se, but I think he's self-absorbed. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, he'll bring his star to Cleveland. That's an up-and-coming team. You know, I mean, it, on paper, it looks like a team that can certainly contend, you know, be in the playoffs and contend for more than that. The Giants do not look like that kind of team at all. So it'll be very interesting to see. You know, but I don't think Odell, you know, Odell didn't talk his way off the team. Odell was being Odell. You know, at some point in his career, especially in the last few years, did he think back in his inner thoughts and say, man, if I had Patrick Mahomes or one of these stud young guns, you know, we could make some magic. I'm sure he thought that. That would be only human nature. You know, he likes Eli. They got along fine. They worked well together. But I think it's only human nature for a young guy like that to look at himself in the mirror and look at all the losing and say, you know, what the heck is going on here? What can I do more at? What can the people around me do more as well? So, you know, it's a story that's yet to be told, and I think it's really interesting to see where Odell goes from here. Does he, you know, turn his greatness to winning as well? He's got a very good atmosphere for winning there, but it's a funky mix there with Baker Mayfield and his friend Jarvis Landry and a bunch of high-profile guys there. It'd be very interesting to see how that transpires.
You're not kidding. And we've always said about Beckham, listen, nobody wants to grow up. It's getting smart. That is the key. So maybe in Cleveland he'll be getting a lot smarter than he has been here in New York with the New York Giants. And his story continues, and we'll be reading your story online and in this morning or tomorrow morning's New York Post. Paul, I can't thank you enough at this hour, any hour, for the couple of minutes you gave us.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime. Thank you.
You got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.